And I honestly think I have a deep, deep, deep sense of belief that if people address their household as a partnership more than a marriage, as co-founders more than as husband and wife, and they had the communication line about where things are breaking down in their business, not what the individual is doing wrong, but where things are breaking down in their business, that allows for people to step in and put a game plan in place.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Abby. And as women, we are constantly comparing ourselves to others. But your life isn't supposed to look like hers. Being your best self means standing firm in your decisions and always being willing to grow with a purpose.
We get vulnerable and real with an honest look into the challenges and triumphs we all face. Every woman listening gets the opportunity to choose what life looks like for herself. In the past, we have heard from so many of you that you want to hear more podcasts that are aimed towards dads. So this one does that. Our guest is Michael Perry. He is a husband, dad of two young boys, and he is a founder of tech startup and household organization app Maple, which stands for Make All Parents' Lives Easier. So Michael was on fire during this episode. He just got back from a trip, and so really, he talks about his values and the way that those play out in his life. He's super passionate. To be honest, he swore quite a bit. So we are going to just give you guys a language warning. If you usually listen around kids, this is not the one to do that with, because he's a passionate man and he let us know that. So I think it's going to be great because it speaks to how he shows up in his household, how him and his wife share the load. There's a lot to learn from this one. So I hope that you tune in.
Michael, we have had the opportunity to listen to you on other podcasts and hear your story. So let's start this interview with, why are you so passionate about the work that you do with helping families?
Oh my God. The first question, you just go straight fire out the gate. I like that. This is going to be a good podcast. You know, you're catching me in a super good time because I just took a holiday with my kids. And I've been on like an 8-week campaign now, with like no screen time. Like I've deleted all social media off my phone. And when I was with my children the last like 2 weeks, very off the grid, no TVs, really very little electricity. We were down in Costa Rica. I was just like so deeply reminded that very few things in life actually matter. That's why I'm super passionate about the work that I'm doing, is because outside of my family and just my general mental and physical health, I don't really think anything else is real. It's all made up. And so if I can build a company that's completely centered around prioritizing those real things, which is the people you love, the closest circle, the people inside the walls of your home, and empowering you to make your life's work easier for more of the joyous moments to feel more prevalent, less washed away by the stress of trying to get there, then as an entrepreneur, I feel like just incredibly accomplished. But at a human level, I just don't think anything I do matters more than raising my sons. So that's why.
Yeah, I'm a mom to three boys myself. And so I want to know, how did the household that you grew up in and your parents inspire you to start this really mission-driven business?
Well, you know, I grew up and I always send my mom these podcasts and we always get to have a special moment together when we listen to these things. But, you know, my mom had me very early on in her life. She was in her early 20s. She was 21. My dad was 24, 25. My mom was a waitress. My dad was a car salesman. We didn't have a lot of things. And I think that the way my parents kind of filled the void of like less material things was just reminding us that those things actually didn't matter, and that the things that mattered were, loving one another. I came from a Italian Portuguese household. It was always kisses hello. It was always kisses goodbye. It was always dinner together. It was always about being a family. And so I think that I grew up in an environment that, regardless of your economic class, whether you are incredibly poor or incredibly rich, that the priority of family should never shift. It should always remain highest on the totem pole. And my wife and I are building a household where, you know, we expect our sons to give us kisses goodbye on their way to school, and we expect kisses goodnight before bed, and we expect kisses and hugs when people walk through the door. And I just think that I'm super fortunate that my family, by default, has always put an emphasis on loving one another and being together, and that that is our true currency in life. And my mom, now life has gone on, and I've done okay in life, and my mom still, as almost a 40-year-old man, constantly reminds me that nothing matters more than your family. Put your family first, and has the expectation as now a father of a household to prioritize my family above anything. And I just love that her work is still not done as a mother at now into her 60s. And it just says a lot about the kind of family I grew up in. I think that the fact that there is still parenting going on now,
I like that answer. I feel like whenever we have guests on, and even just in our own lives, it's interesting to think back to our childhood because some of us have parenting structures or like what we grew up with that is polar opposite from what we're doing right now. But it sounds like you kind of took what worked for you and all the pieces that you love and are bringing those into it kind of as traditions into the life that you're living right now with your boys.
I think that, and again, you're catching me at a weird time. I just kind of came off the grid. This is the first interview I've done since returning back from holiday, but I just have this really hard time right now caring much about anything other than my kids and my family. And that's not to say I don't go to work every day and work hard and show up for my my employees and our teammates and friendships and all these things. But there's a part of me, and I think that my mom and my father are constant reminders of this, that my mom's a lawyer now, and her story is amazing. But when the time comes that she exits Earth, the world's not going to care about the work that she's done as a lawyer. No one's going to remember it. Her colleagues likely won't even come to her funeral. I, on the other hand, could tell you the details of everything that she's done between the time she had me until today, and the incredible journey that she's on, the lessons that she's provided with, like for me, how she's shown up in my life. And when the time comes that she does find out life's greatest mystery, which is essentially what comes after life itself, I'm going to miss her deeply every day. Like every single day until I take my last breath, I will miss my mother. And I would like to believe in a parallel world, no one's going to remember the work I do, and they shouldn't. And I hope that they don't. I hope that the work is so great that the person behind it is completely irrelevant. My children don't look at me as an entrepreneur, and they don't care that I've built many companies. They don't care that I've sold companies. They don't care that I've been, they don't care that I'm on this podcast. What they care about is, am I going to skateboard class at 4 o'clock? And this morning, my son crawled into bed at 6 a.m. and gave me a kiss and asked me if I'd get up and make him waffles. That's the shit he cares about. And when I'm gone, no one's going to remember me, but they will until the end. And I think that just having that very basic framework of putting all of your energy into the people that will miss you, the people that will love you, that is the quiet secret to living a very fulfilled life.
Yeah, and even just how you talk about your mom, I think that's so many of us, I mean, me included, I hope that my children someday talk about me that way. Like just with this, just this unconditional love and that you're sharing on a podcast with complete strangers with. Like that's the part that I want them to remember. And I think that throughout this interview, we're going to focus so much on the feelings behind what you've created and what you're doing, but then also how we can put this into tangible steps that our audience can actually put into place because
I'm excited
we
about
know
it.
you've done so much research on households, but more importantly, what their pain points are. And I think so many people
Yes.
listening right now, they're like, it is overwhelming. Like we are burned out. We are feeling the stress. Like things are loud. Things are, what can we do to make this feel better? So right now we want to go to the data because we're feeling it, but can you just share with us anything from, with the dual working parents, multiple kids, just all these moving parts that come along with being so busy? Tell us what the data shares about how we can really set the stage in this part of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because we look at the data, Maple's in many different countries now, but the deltas are different in each country, but the shift is very consistent, right? More than ever, every household has dual working parents. In the US in 1950, there's somewhere almost inching towards 5 out of 10 children, a little bit less than half of households had dual working parents. Most of them had one person in the workforce. one person at home. And that created complexities, systematic complexities that we still live with today, because we've set these kind of gold standard expectations that, for lack of a better term, mom is barefoot pregnant in the kitchen and she's the one doing all the work and the caregiving. The reality of it is that 60 million parents today are in the workforce. Over 11% of those parents have children under the age of 5 at home. And I just saw the data, the shift in Canada between 1970 and today, 36% increase of dual working parents in the workforce. So almost 7 out of 10 children in today's home, almost 8 out of 10 children in today's home, depending on the country, have two parents in the workforce. And there's not a single trend line in any country about that, any first world country at least, about that going backwards, right? So we know on many horizons out, more and more and more and more households are going to have dual working parents. The problem is that those households in today's world, yours and mine, this generation of new parents, where a lot of the people are dual working households, they're also carrying over with them this legacy expectation of dad is going to work to make the bacon and mom is staying home to care give. And so in a lot of households today, and there's a very positive shift taking place, but in a lot of households today, mom is essentially working two full-time jobs. She is, by every measuring stick, every single statistic, carrying almost 2x the load at home. She's spending an hour and a half weekly meal planning. She's doing the chores. She's doing the groceries. She's getting kids ready for school. She's managing doctor's appointments, dentist appointments. Dad, on the other hand, typically is like maybe showing up at soccer practice, maybe doing park days on the weekends. It's a very, very clear, overwhelmingly large shift, right? And so what we're seeing in today's world, outside of just like general resentment because people are fried and burnt out, is that there is just such an absurd inequality in the household that we actually do believe at Maple fits very neatly under the 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 principle says, of course, 80% of any workforce does 20%, 20% of the workforce does 80%. And that's what we think households look like today. And so Maple is combating against these statistics to A, make it operationally easier for the person who is doing the 80%, but also trying to be a leveled playing field so that that participation rate amongst both co-parents of the household is actually trending towards equal. So yeah, we're living through very interesting and very dynamic times, because the one thing that we're not talking about that's layered on top of all that is that more than ever, kids are doing like 27,000 activities per week. Versus like 1950, it was like go outside and drink out of the hose and ride your bike down the street. So very, very, very different version of parenting today than ever before.
It's funny because in the 90s, I was drinking out of a hose and playing outside, and the
Same.
times have changed. You're catching me at an interesting time because my partner is work traveling right now, and he doesn't often do that. But I miss him in a big way because he does carry a good amount of the load. He makes dinner every night. He packs the kids' backpacks every day. He communicates with the school. He does so much. And we've worked on that. So right now, I understand we're talking to a lot of couples that want to get to a better place. And one thing Abby and I have shared in the past is what we do is when our partner drops the ball on something that he is supposed to be in charge of, we don't swoop in and fix it for him. Like we want him to have some level of accountability. Now we're talking to a bunch of women that want to empower their partners to step up more to share the load. What are your tips for those that are still really struggling and wanting to get to a better place?
Man, this is a tough one, I have a feeling. So I think if I can set the table a little bit, the first thing, and now I've been working on Maple for 3 years. And in that 3 year period, I have grown up a lot and I've learned a tremendous amount in the last 3 years. I think one thing that's really, really challenging and kind of, I would say, this might be really unpopular thing to say, but one thing that I've noticed that's happening across most households is that in a heterosexual relationship, the man is doing more than his father did. Right. And so by default, and I fall into this bucket, by the way. I'm going to be super honest with your audience. I'm still a work in progress and have a lot more to do to show up in my own household. But I'm an exceptional husband compared to my father. Right. And I'm an exceptional partner compared to my father. And probably to some extent, I'd hope my wife would say I'm an exceptional partner, period. But the watermark is just so much lower generationally that men, I think, today find themselves in this very delicate situation where they view what had been done in their own household and they're significantly doing more. And so by default, they feel like they're really good husbands. They're like, I'm a good ass husband. The problem is that that watermark is so low that even their participation rate still kind of leaves them in a bit of an 80-20 split, right? And maybe in some cases, like your household sounds like your hu husband is super awesome. Maybe your household's a 60-40 split or a 70-30 split or whatever. Maybe it's 50-50. Maybe you guys have just really nailed it. And if so, I hope that you guys share more of that story because I think that there's a lack of great male leadership in the home in terms of how men should be showing up in this era of parenting. And so just to level set with everybody who's listening, I think that there is this almost kind of sad empathetic lens of like someone thinks that they're doing a really, really good job because their father did less, and that there's a feeling of failure because they're still not showing up enough because they typically have somebody else telling them, I need you to do more. And that is the piece that I think that there's a lot of room for improvement on two-way communication, right? I think that part of the way that marriages get off to an unequal start, besides the fact that there's a lot of social pressure for it to be unequal. And I've spoken to examples of my wife in the delivering room, and I won't waste too much of the airtime speaking of that in terms of how that just jump-started our relationship as her as the caregiver and me as the guest of the patient. But I think that the problem with parenting is that parenting, which is very different than being in a singles relationship, is that parenting requires the skill set of an extraordinarily good executive. And one of the key things that any good executive leader has is great communication skills. So that's first and foremost, is that on a two-way, anytime a conversation is breaking down, which is an unpopular belief, but there's two people that own that conversation. So that's one. I think that there's a better chance for more people to sit down in a calm, not a reactive state, not when like the shit's falling apart and everyone's upset. It's like, you're not doing the dishes, you're not doing this, but in a really calm environment to sit down and level set about what does our partnership need to be better off. That's one thing my wife and I do very regularly is I simply ask her, what could I be doing to be more helpful? And here's what's going on with my work week and where I could use some help. This is what we need to do together for our household to be super operational this week. And we just put it out there. We don't have ownership over particular things. It's addressing collectively the workload. What's happening at Maple this week is equally my wife's responsibility. I make that equally her responsibility. She has to be a stakeholder in my work at Maple. I equally have to be a stakeholder in her work and the things that she's doing. And we have to co-own as a partnership, not as a married couple, but as two co-founders. We have to co-own what's happening inside of our house. And I honestly think I have a deep, deep, deep sense of belief that if people address their household as a partnership more than a marriage, as co-founders more than as husband and wife, and they had the communication line about where things are breaking down in their business. Not what the individual is doing wrong, but where things are breaking down in their business, that allows for people to step in and put a game plan in place, right? Because what I typically hear when I go on podcasts, when people want to talk to me about this, is that people are always wanting to point fingers. Men are always wanting to say, I'm doing X, I'm doing more than my dad. And the wife is saying, I'm drowning, you're not doing enough, I'm doing everything. That is typically the consistent over 3 years. Two lines of conversation that are coming from both parties. And what both people are saying is, I'm trying really hard, I'm doing better. And this person's saying, you're not trying hard enough, or you just don't know. And if an honest conversation took place, a baseline conversation took place, I honestly think that things would be much better for a lot of people.
And Michael, with so much of this, there's so much comparison, right? So you're bringing up the father of a partner and how much more that they're doing than their partner,
yep.
or bringing up, hey, like it could be like, you know, X and Z over here. Like, would you like that kind of relationship? Like, he's always gone. He's always doing this.
Yeah,
he never
totally,
does this. It's like,
totally. I'm better than that guy.
Right. We're not comparing ourselves. I didn't marry your father.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't marry your father and I didn't marry that guy over there. I married you. And this is what we're going to try to figure out. Like, when we got married, we did not have children. When we got married, we didn't have the work stress that we have right now. Now we have it. So what are we going to do? And I find it so interesting because, like, both of our partners, so many of the people listening, their partners, they have good jobs and they do good work when they're at their jobs.
Yeah.
They're using Slack or Salesforce or HubSpot or Asana, and they have these communication apps that, you know, even email that can go back and forth, but then they get home and you have to actually have a conversation. You can't just like send somebody a Slack response and hope that they're going to get it. Like, that doesn't work with a partnership at home. So I find that communication is one of the biggest things that Colin, my partner, and I have issues with still to this day. Does it get better? Yes. And then sometimes we slide right back. And it's definitely during the more busy times. And I think right now, so many of our listeners, they're in a busy time, whether it's at work or whether it's at home. And so I find that many of the women that are talking right now, they're saying, okay, even with the help of an app or getting the systems down in our homes, our partners still aren't stepping up. So
right.
What's your best advice for those families that even if they've done the systems, they've tried the apps and it's still not working, what would you say to them?
Quickly, I am going to address that. But I just want to touch on one thing really quickly because I do think that this gets lost in the mix. And I hope it's coming across to you and your listeners. I do try to live a life of empathy because I think being a human is really hard. And I feel like human on human expectations are ridiculous. And, you know, communication is a superpower. There are not a lot of great communicators on earth, right? And you see that everyone's tough in their car with road rage. Very people are willing to be tough to your face. It's easy to be an asshole in email. Very difficult to be an asshole to your face. It's very easy to be direct and punchy on Slack. Very difficult when most people can't even make eye contact anymore, right? So like, I think that it's super okay and super fair for your listeners and for yourself and for myself. My wife and I work on communication. Listen, I'm 20 years in. I work on my marriage every single day. Every single day I wake up with intention to work on my marriage. There's not been a single day where I don't make an effort to be a little bit better every day. And so communication is the hard part. That is the hard part. So I think that people have to give themselves a little grace. If there's days where it's improving and then there's days where it's pulling back and there's days where it's improving, as long as everyone's making the effort, that's the sign that people still care. I just feel like people need to hear that.
And now a quick break from our sponsor, Element. Element is something that I have added into my life and I absolutely love it. So I take the packet, I mix it with water and ice, and I drink it. I start my every day with a pack of Element. There is no going back for me. I love the way that it helps my hydration throughout the entire day. I love the flavor. Now, at first, you have to get used to the salty taste. You've got to figure out your ratio of how much water you like into it. But then if you're anything like me, you might really become hooked on it. There are so many good flavors to choose from. My personal favorites are raspberry salt, orange salt, and citrus salt. Those are three that I constantly have in my rotation, and I'm absolutely so excited to drink it at the beginning of the day. So if electrolytes have been something that you want to try, I can tell you that Element is such a great company to give it a whirl. They have a free trial pack for us, so you can go to drinkelement.com/herself for your free trial pack. Again, that's drinklmnt.com/herself to get your free trial pack and see if this is something that you would like too.
And to your point, yeah, you know, the hard thing is when you're in a corporate environment, like you don't get to opt out. If you join Maple, you're using Slack. If you don't use Slack, I don't know if this is the place for you to work. We work remotely, completely asynchronously. You're going to use Zoom. You're going to use email. Like these are, you don't get to vote on that. That's the tooling we've built for our company, right? And when you're inside of your home, the difference is that it's viewed as personal time, but it's not personal time. It's teamwork time. And like people don't take the same mindset of like, I don't get to opt out. Right? Because you could opt out of a marriage if you want. You can opt out. And so like there has to be this certain level of back to the communication thing. There has to be a certain level of effort that is made to be uncomfortable with something new. There has to be an investment that is made. I really truly do deeply believe this. Everyone should be investing in their marriage every single day. Every single day. And I bet you if you asked, if you surveyed, if you polled your listeners and said, do you intentionally work on your marriage every single day? I would bet you 99% would say no. Right. And so again, it starts with that communication of saying, what do we need? It may not be an app. It may not be Maple. It may not be some of our competing products. It may not be a Google Calendar. It may be just writing something down on the refrigerator. Like it might be a smaller starting spot. It's about having that conversation of saying, we aren't doing well as a team. Like, I don't know if you're noticing or not, but I want to communicate to you what I am really deeply struggling with. I'm hoping that we can work together as teammates to work us through this position that we're in. I couldn't imagine, and I've said this on many podcasts, in a traditional heterosexual relationship, there's a reason why there's a 50% divorce rate. Some of it's infidelity, some of it is financial stress. A lot of it we've surveyed. A lot of it is people are saying, I would be willing to get divorced because my relationship is lacking equality. No one wants to get to that point. But if my co-founder and I operated like a heterosexual relationship, we wouldn't be on our fourth company together. We wouldn't have made it. Like we sit there and we have a weekly meeting. My co-founder and I have built four companies together, sold one of them, raised over $10 million, worked together at Shopify. He reported to me while I was there. We still meet once a week and check in with one of each other. What could we be doing better as a team? Imagine that investment in your marriage. You don't need an app. You need a conversation. And once that groundwork is in place, then you can start looking at the tooling. But I really think it starts there.
So interesting. I'm thinking about the text message I sent this morning and how I could have phrased it a little bit more kindly.
It's
And
just
there's
like we
always
take each
room
other for
to improve.
granted. There's always room to
Awareness is the
improve.
first part.
Yeah.
Awareness is the
Oh,
first step.
you know what? Because I was thinking when you were talking, the point of these episodes is that we could move families further and bring them closer together. We are certainly not a podcast that man bashes. We want to work together to get people to a better place. And so to your point earlier, you say that there's places where you can certainly grow within your household. But since you are such an advocate of this movement, I've got to know, how does sharing the load look in your family? What do you take on versus what your wife takes on? And then what systems do you guys have in place to keep that all organized?
So one, man bashing is fine. Like everyone wants to have a little cheer here and there. Like having a community and having some camaraderie is okay. We're all in it together.
I
That's what
just
ties
don't
us
like
together.
when it's like disempowered. Like
That's
we
the
are like,
problem.
we want to
That's the
have a
problem.
solution and not complain about it.
I've always said this, and then I'm going to answer your question. Like there is unfortunately a huge, I think there's two things that are happening right now. One is there's a big awakening and awareness that people want better, healthier relationships. Some people are going down the path of having constructive conversations about that. Some people are making it like burning down churches and like your husband's the worst thing on earth and shit's horrible and you should get a divorce and da da da. Like I'm a little bit more of the like we are all a work in progress. No one is perfect, So I'm being a little bit like tongue in cheek here, but it's okay I think to like vent. That's human nature. But I think what's more important is, I don't want to say leaning in because I think there's been some like negative connotation in that, but like wanting to do the hard work. Like relationships are super fucking hard. Like that's just like cut and dry. They are super hard, right? So my wife and I, we've been together a long time. I feel really lucky about our relationship and our marriage. As an example, I go to the gym on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday mornings at 5:45 a.m. And like on those days, she's kind of on morning duty. She goes to the gym Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. So this morning I got up, I made both of our sons breakfast. I made both of our sons their school lunches. I got both of my sons dressed. So I was like on morning duty today. So we have like a divide and conquer on the mornings, depending on the day. At nighttime, because I worked during the day, at nighttime, we kind of go back and forth on dinner. It's kind of a triangle offense, like who's in the mood to cook. And if not, we kind of default to just like going out and making it kind of easy on ourselves. And then I do bath time every single night, full stop, 7 days a week with our kids. And I would say somewhere between 4 to 5 of those nights, I do bedtime and like reading and also putting them to bed and give my wife like that shift off. Sometimes she wants to get her bedtime stories in and her cuddles in. And then I would say we're both like very involved on like going to practice with our kids because we like love it. And she definitely runs point on like signing them up for summer camp. And she definitely runs point on like dentists and doctors. I'm barely good enough at taking care of myself. So she definitely runs point on like keeping them alive and well. So I would say, on like the more like administrative kind of caregiving side, she is probably the lead person in our relationship. I think that's again the communication of her keeping me honest in those moments when I come home from work and I'm tired and I'm like, we don't have milk. Our kid, how are our kids going to eat tomorrow morning for breakfast? And she's like, get your ass in the car and go to the grocery store. Like, I've been busy all day too. So I think it's just like, again, people grossly underestimate the value of a conversation. And in that moment, my wife reminded me, like, I've been busy all day. I've been working all day. You could have easily also picked up milk, And I never get angry about that response. I'm just like, damn, she's right. Here I am working in a household technology sector to try to build equality. And I myself am like, why don't we have this? And she's like, why don't you do something about it? So we are not a perfect couple. We're not a perfect relationship. I'm not a perfect man. She's not a perfect woman. We're just two humans who are doing our absolute best to raise two boys and get through life together and build a life together. And I think that that has to be, again, I'm going to keep saying it, met with a lot of empathy and grace. And it will be probably, it will be, let me actually take a sec. It will be the greatest accomplishment of my life at the end that we did this together.
What I got from that answer is a strategy that maybe people haven't tried. And instead of getting into the car and calling your best friend and saying, "Can you believe that my partner forgot the milk again and made me go and get it?" Instead, it's having that conversation with your partner. And maybe you've done that before and it hasn't gone well. Try it again. Like, have that conversation again. Because if you're the one always going into the car, just like how we started this interview, and grabbing the milk and getting resentful about it and getting angry about it, you're going to continue to be in that position over and over again.
Constantly. And to be honest with you, I'm a big believer in all things compounding. So if you're every opportunity being negative on your spouse to somebody else, you are going to have a negative relationship. Full stop. If you're positive and grateful about the relationship that you have, because there's some people who have no life partner, don't get to find that person, don't have the opportunity to work on something. Like I take it like I am in a unique position right now to learn a lot about myself and try to be a better human to three people in my home. Like I'm trying to improve for myself and for them. That requires a lot of self-reflection.
Let's take a break from this episode to bring up our partner, Gooder. Amy and I have both been huge fans of Gooder sunglasses since before they even became a partner. And because they make $25 sunglasses that don't slip, don't bounce, and are 100% polarized, as a mom, you can love them too. They also have a 1-year warranty and 30-day free return. So let's say you get some sunglasses and they don't fit your face. Return them and grab another pair. Or let's say you sit on them or your toddler scratches them up. That 1-year warranty definitely comes in handy as a mom. There's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, and if you want some to start off with, Amy and I both love Bosley's Basset Hound Dreams and Amelia Earhart Ghosted Me. We both have multiple pairs of both of those. So if you head over to gooder.com/herself, you can use code herself to get free shipping on your first order. That's gooder, GOODR.com/herself, and use code herself to get free shipping. Find your pair over at gooder.com, and we can't wait to see what you choose. Okay, back to our show. And Michael, so much of this interview, we've talked about parenting and about the working roles and that part of it. So I do want to focus in on a few questions about the partnership role.
Well, this leads right into what you were saying before about just how you guys talk to each other and just building that legacy within your partnership as well. And what we hear over and over again is that our partners are getting the leftovers. Either we're giving them our leftovers, we're seeing their worst side, you know, they're leaving all their energy at work, and then all of a sudden they come home and we're getting the pieces that we don't want to see. They're not seeing the best versions of us, or vice versa. So with you and your wife, give us some tips about what the people in the community could be doing to make sure that you are bringing the best parts of yourself home as well.
Right. So she knows I'm a star at work, but like, she needs me to be a star at home. I need to be a star at home. So I think everyone, what it simply comes down to, and people are not going to want to hear this, they are not going to want to hear this, but it's priorities and values. That is it. What I started realizing was that, like, I deeply felt I needed to be 110% at work, and it was okay for me not to be 110% at home. That is not okay. In my household, that's not okay. In my marriage, that's not okay. For my children, that's not okay. So you know what? I'm not 110% at work 7 days a week. And I'm okay with my teammates sometimes getting a 60, 70% version of me, because what I'm doing is I'm protecting the version that my sons deserve. I can't opt out of fatherhood anymore. So like, first and foremost, I will never, ever, 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 ever put an investor, a board member, a partner, an employee, they will never get a better version of me than my kids from this day till my last day, ever. It's my pledge to myself and to my children. And once I had the clarity of that I was coming home and I was too tired to play Legos with my sons, but I wasn't too tired to go have a gin and tonic with some Muppet, I realized that like, there was something incredibly broken in my life. And I think just accepting that is a huge step forward. I guarantee you most of the people on this phone call or on this podcast, if they're being honest, they know that there's been moments where they have put in their time and energy in terms of how they are present and show up above things over their children. And I just won't do that anymore. The second thing is, if you deeply in your heart believe that your children deserve the best version of you, then you have to believe that they're optically seeing how you show up to the number one person in their life, which is their mother. My boys value my wife here, and then I'm like kind of like down here, right? They're mama's boys. So if I'm trying to do what's best for my kids, how does it make them feel when they watch their dad not show up right for their mom? Not great, right? I know that feeling as a son. I can still emotionally feel that as almost a 40-year-old man. I just simply will not let that happen to my boys. So like, I think that accepting how you've prioritized your time with people is like a critical step of life. And then once I realized quite quickly that like, those people that I was valuing aren't even coming to my funeral at the end. They're probably not even coming to my 50th birthday party. They're not talking about me when I'm gone. My death has zero impact on their life. Very basic human things. Then I was like, you know what? I'm so fucking all in on being 100% at home. And I just think that like, it's a heavy lift. It's hard work. It's sacrifice. The biggest mistake any one person makes, and I deeply believe this, is believing they could be everybody's everything. They could be everybody's best husband, best wife, best father, best mother, best employee, best friend, best son, best daughter, best teammate. You are not going to be 100% of everything. So you got to kind of pick and choose. And if you simply pick the right two or three things, you're going to be awesome.
I'm loving these answers because I think it's going to really resonate with the men who are listening. And so this is just one of those episodes that's so good to share with your male partners, if you have one, and just reframing, like not saying this guy told me that you should be doing this, but what can we do to make some small changes in our lives right now to be better partners, to be better parents, and to just have a life that we stand by and feels more aligned. We do want to talk about your app a little bit. You've mentioned Visual a few times here. So just share with our listeners what you've put into this to really help make families' lives easier. And then also, who should try this? So what type of family should be the ones that are purchasing this type of app?
Well, first of all, I'm really proud to say that the app is like 95% of our users use the free version because it's just so fucking awesome. And I've been very intentional as someone who grew up in a very poor household that I didn't want to make the best product the most expensive product. We're cheaper than everybody on the market with complete intention. And it's just so amazing. I've put in everything in the last 3 years in terms of my intellectual ability into this app. We've hired some of the best people we can hire from around the world. Most of all are which working parents. And so we get to use the app with our own families and improve. But what we again had learned quite early on, and we brought this up early in the conversation, is that to be great at your corporate job, you have to have software, right? To be great at your 9 to 5, and specifically around the communication and the organization of your job, you have to have software, right? And so for parents who are trying to be administrative to their personal life, their schedule, their kids' schedule, their relationships, all the moving pieces of their home, it either lives in one person's head, which is ridiculous, and they don't have the actual tooling to be efficient with it. Or they can use something like Maple, which allows for parents to collaboratively have an open space to have complete visibility into the home so that they can use one of our 9 tools inside of an endless amount of folders to be organized. So you would establish a folder like kids' school, or establish a folder like ski trip, or establish a folder like we have a default household folder. And inside of that folder, you have the ability to create a to-do list or a task list, a shopping list, calendar events, expense sheet tracker. We have obviously a messaging product so you can talk directly inside of the app. We have weather tiles. We have all the tools you need so that everybody is on the same page and everybody can work together to manage the household so it doesn't fall on one person's shoulders. We've been around since 2020. I actually am right now building out our fundraising deck. We've written over 1 million lines of code. We've gone through 125 different versions of the app. We are working on groundbreaking technology that continues to bend the curve to make it easier than ever for parents to stay organized and more collaborative at home. And we truly believe that we are the company. Maple stands for Make All Parents' Lives Easier. We are the company right now that is giving everything that we have to allow you to do your life's work as best as possible. And it's free. There is a premium version if you want to use some of our premium tools, but everything that I just basically listed is free.
Thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. And to the Herself listeners, make sure to go follow those resources. Definitely things that can help you not only today, but for months and years to come. And if you aren't following us on Instagram, Amy and I take these conversations so much deeper Monday through Friday. So go follow us over at Herself Podcast and see all the great posts and stories that we have for you. All right, everyone, we'll talk to you next week.